Welcome to the 191st episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. Welcome. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. I'm also a primary care wellness specialist in my own practice. And if this is the first time tuning in, welcome, and thank you for listening. Last weekend, I did the Madeira Beach half-a-thon, I guess it was called, half marathon up in Madeira Beach, a point-to-point run. A week after my marathon, I actually felt better than I thought I was going to feel. I had a rough marathon the week before in California. Number of factors played a role, a little bit of dehydration, a little bit of overtraining, but anyway, I felt pretty good on the half marathon, and it was funny. You know, my goal was just to complete it. And it was an awful day as far as weather goes. It started raining pretty hard at about mile three. Thank goodness the weather had actually warmed up, so it wasn't a cold rain. It was in the 60s down here. But it was high winds to the point where they couldn't put anything out very much because they were afraid it's going to blow over. And rain for the most part. And again, my goal was just to kind of finish and try to finish feeling good or no worse. For wear. And it's funny how things happen. You know, instead of the marathon where I went out hard, I went out easy and felt pretty good and was just kind of maintaining that kind of training day run pace. And, you know, again, getting along pretty good. After about 6 miles, I started my 3-minute run, 30-second walk thing to try to, again, just do this as a training run. And, you know, as these races go, you know, you're out there long enough and you're tired. And it's like, you know, we might as well just kind of get this over. And I tried to open up my pace, open up my gait a little bit. And something happened. And all of a sudden, you know, some of the tightness I was feeling went away. And I was able to open up my stride. And I actually finished faster than I started. And was really happy about it, and had no back or quad or hip issues, and felt pretty good afterwards, so I was really happy about that. So now I'm officially into a short recovery phase. I'm just going to kind of do some body maintenance through Christmas and the new year. Short runs, a lot of mobility, back to strength training, gradually start to tune in on places that in areas of weakness, especially when I'm looking forward to, in February, going up to Georgia to do Thrill in the Hill Ultra. So I need to work on areas as far as to be doing the trails, climbing up and down, and before, you know, my low back and obviously hip flexors were issues for me, so I really want to work on those areas. Specifically, but again, general all body movement, mobility, and strength training. So that's good. Work on form, a little bit of speed coming back into this. But right now, again, for the next couple of weeks, it's all about recovery. I've been using a high dial, I'm not sponsored by them, but a high dial TENS motor stimuli unit, and that helps with some soreness and contraction. So I'll use that a little bit and keep doing my mobility work, so all is well. I need to get back into the pool because before you know it, Ironman training will come around. So I've been a bit of a cold water wimp, and they had some maintenance on the pool, but in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have to jump back in the pool at least one day a week to get that going and even hit the bike a little bit, perhaps. We have a backyard garden, raised beds, as well as a tower garden, and that's going well. It's crazy. Sweet potatoes down here kind of grow like weeds. So I chopped them all down. We harvested the sweet potatoes. They're up again. We have several tomato plants, both in raised beds and on the tower garden. And there now we're getting ripe tomatoes, so that's fun. We have three different kind of peppers, a cayenne pepper, a jalapeno pepper, and a poblano pepper, and they're all producing. Eggplant, Japanese eggplant is producing. It's been crazy on the tower garden. We pick about four eggplants off a week, so that's really cool. Herbs, They're stalling out a little bit. The cilantro doesn't last long on the Tower Garden, but so we started, start more. But you get enough for, one cilantro-based dinner a week for the most part. And basil was abundant in the raised bed, so, doing some pesto-type things. So that's working out. We have Napa cabbage growing and some collards and broccoli. We're starting to see little broccoli trees form in the broccoli, so that's exciting. Have a few lemons that are almost ready to pick. As far as fruit, everything else is fairly dormant. We have a mango tree, two mango trees that are blooming, so that's something to look at. So it's all good in the backyard. It's nice to go out and lunch and assess the property, so to speak. We also have a cranberry hibiscus that you can actually eat the leaves and the flowers, and those are actually very abundant and doing really well. So hopefully the forecast down here is for a fairly mild Christmas holiday season to let things continue to grow. We're actually going to get a little rain today. So all is good in the garden area. I harvested some of our Swiss chard. I didn't mention that earlier, and I cooked it with zucchini with just garlic and lemon pepper on a little bit of water in a skillet, and it was actually fabulous the other night. So it's always good to be able to grab your herbs and grab your vegetables out of the garden for your dinner. Yesterday we had our potluck with the practice, and we had it at our little beach complex down the road in the town I live in, Port Charlotte, Florida. It is more of a fishing community. We have our beaches, comes from the bay, and it's the Peace River runs in, and it's brackish water, but there's a little bit of a beach, and there's a nice little park with pavilions. And we had our outdoor potluck yesterday, and the weather was nice. It was about 70 degrees, nice breeze going on, and it was nice to see a lot of new members join in. And the food was fabulous. There was all kinds of colors on the table. We did carrot dogs with fresh homemade corn tortillas, and I made some jackfruit burgers with red pepper and parsley. But there were several cabbage dishes, purple cabbage steamed and seasoned wonderfully. There was a cabbage puree or a cabbage slaw type of dish that was fabulous. My mom made a cabbage gnocchi and tomato dish with a little bit of spice. We had bean soup and vegetable soup. There was a lime-based tabbouleh that was really fabulous. We had a couple pumpkin cookies that were oatmeal-based, all healthy. So this was a salt free, sugar-free, oil-free potluck. And, we had a big, long picnic table chock full of food. We had some places where people could plug in warm dishes, but we also had cold salads. And, everybody had a great time sharing their food, sharing recipes, meeting each other. It was a really, really good day. It was nice to see happy people, healthy people, living well, all focused on, being well, being healthy. It's a great way to practice medicine. It made me think about our practice. It's what I've always wanted to do, is to have a wellness practice. For a lot of years, I wasn't sure how to go about it. I had focused early on, before I kind of knew about plant-based medicine, on movement and running and trying to get people to exercise, and wasn't really successful. I hang up my marathon posters and tell people they should exercise and walk and do things, but that didn't work out. But since we've, changed to this model of a membership practice where we have nutrition classes 3 days a week, where I can take time with people to assess their needs. We have a registered dietitian, Addie, who's been on the podcast multiple times, that can speak with people. We've developed a community, and I could see it yesterday, and it was great. And if you think about it, it's a little, Port Charlotte is not a big town. I would guess maybe there's a couple hundred thousand people. But this little group within, our town is its own little tribe, in that the people, members can support each other. When class, people have made friends, shared recipes on our private Facebook page and in person, and participated in wellness challenge, got to know each other, commented back to forth. We see people starting to tease each other. It was nice yesterday to see people that, you know, had interacted on Facebook, now interacting in person, and its own little tribe that can support people in, you know, what they're struggling with, and celebrate successes. And that's really what, you know, healthcare is really about, is maintaining health and wellness. Yes, I'm here to provide primary care and cardiology if needed. You know, certainly people get sick, have colds, cut themselves, you know, trip over things. I'm there to help them for that and support them. But mainly my role has been to take people that were sick and now they're getting better and get them off of medications. And, you know, so we're just amassing more and more people that want to be part of this model to get off of medications and stay well, because we don't really need to suffer from lifestyle diseases. And, you know, Addie and I are here for accountability. You know, some of our members are working their way off their diabetic medications or their blood pressure medications or cholesterol medications. And we're here for nutritional accountability. When people post a recipe that might not be, you know, what's in their best interest, you know, we comment on it. They report in their glucoses, not to be chastised because of their glucose levels, but to give feedback on how we might adjust things more, what came up. Because when you have accountability, you can see that, you know, every day, you know, it's like my dad said, every day is not a good day, but sometimes, you know, and a lot of people in the majority, you know, I would probably say the majority of people struggling, they do two or three good days and then they have a bad day, two or three good days and then have a bad day. And sometimes the bad day becomes overwhelming and they just give up hope. So if you're only going to a physician's office when you're sick, you'll see them once every, you know, 4 months, 6 months, once a year, and they'll say, go exercise and eat healthy. You should do this, this, and that. And then when you can't accomplish it, you don't have any feedback. You don't have any support. But this way, you know, especially if people are coming to the nutrition class, it's kind of a check-in. They learn something new. They learn a new why. They may learn a new movement. We may explore some, you know, some different aspect of, can you do this? Can you do that? We've added yoga into the practice. So every Wednesday we have a yoga. And they're, you know, the people doing yoga are progressing. It's a supportive community. People that are just starting out are supported by those that have been there. We're on our second phase of a six-session course of yoga. And it's the way practice is. It's the way medicine should be, or way a community should be, to keep healthy. You know, I guess Plant Pure Nation would call this a pod, so to speak. But it's our own, it's our own little independent pod that's working. And, you know, it can only get better. This coming week, we are going to be making soup and a Christmas cookie in class, to take to those that, are our elderly. We probably have 20 some people that, are over well into their 80s, that have difficulty cooking, are often caring for a spouse that's, you know, has dementia or some other medical problems. So the class is going to be making soups for them. We're going to make a carrot ginger soup, a potato leek soup, a vegetable soup, and a carrot cake cookie to take to those people. So the people in the, you know, the members are going to help members, again, creating a sense of community by actually doing the work. And we're going to make these soups in the Instapot. You know, they'll hone some of their skills. They can talk about soups that they've made, share ideas, share recipes, share spices. So it's a learning experience for everyone. And then the people that we're delivering it to will get a healthy couple of meals of soup. And they'll learn more about what healthy is. You know, I have so many patients, you know, that, you know, my 90-year-olds and my late 80-year-olds that, you know, they want to go towards the soups or the ham and cheese sandwiches. And, you know, we try to talk to them about, you know, what they should eat when they come in for their visit. But again, these people are just, you know, they're kind of surviving, doing the best that they can. or people that live in assisted living facilities that get a meal there that's salty and processed. So there's not a whole lot that they can do. But by providing them with a little bit of ideas, at least they can get some nutrition this way. And it's our hope that this is going to evolve into maybe a monthly endeavor, that we actually make enough to take care of our people that can't make food for themselves to be healthy. So again, I think it's another way to, you know, build this plant-based community that we have. It's a medical practice. You know, I'm the medical doctor here to support them, but the reality of it is it's a community that we all need to have to support ourselves, because out there, you know, in that the rest of the world, it's fried food, buttered food, cheesed up food that's really making people ill. And you know, I had somebody come in today to talk about joining the practice, and he wanted to come off his blood pressure medications. And his doctor says, no, you just have to stay on them because you just have high blood pressure. Well, it's not true. We're going to get him off his blood pressure medicine. And he has a child that has some illnesses, and most of that's related to their nutrients. So, you know, if we can educate not only a member, but help a member's family and their children get better, then that's really what a practice should be all about. So I'm really excited looking into the new year for all this to take place. The other things that we have going on, we'll be doing two Veg Fests. I'll be speaking at the Veg Fest down in Bonita Springs in the March, but I'll be on a panel in Sarasota in February at their Veg Fest. Also have a booth there to talk to people. So, you know, it's nice to get out and interact with the community a little bit. And, you know, the thing that we look forward to most of all is our fourth annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference, and that is March 30th at the Twin Isles Country Club here in Punta Gorda. And Dr. Alan Goldhammer will be joining us this year to talk about what he does out at True North and how, you know, your body can heal yourself if you just give it an opportunity, take away the toxins, take away the metabolic waste. So he'll be here, and Nathan Meinrich will be speaking on strength and conditioning and how that contributes to health and wellness. Addie will be here speaking, and Addie and I will do a cooking demonstration, and I'll be speaking as well. So it'll be a great day. We have a great menu plan for breakfast and lunch. It's all plant-based, sugar, oil, salt-free. It's a great day to interact with about 150 people. Like-minded, want to be healthy, share new ideas. It's an intimate setting. People get to ask questions. You know, nobody needs to be inhibited. It's, you know, just a positive day. So I'll put the link in the show notes, but you can go to drdelaney.com, drdelaney, and there's a box there that'll link you up to sign up and buy your tickets. I'm also doing an Addie as well. The day before on Friday, we're doing a limited number of one-day consults. So if you'd like to come into town and meet with us and consult with us for the day and learn about the practice and perhaps become an online member eventually, but you know, just like to have a one-time consult, hurry up and get over there because, again, there's only so many spots we have for that one day on Friday. So sign up for those. And the tickets are a great gift for somebody if they are trying to become plant strong and struggling a little bit. It's Punta Gorda in March is beautiful. It should be a nice sunny day, lots of things to do. So make a weekend out of it and come enjoy the sunshine and a group of plant-based eaters. So hope to see you there. If you have any questions, again, you can always email me at jamie@drdelaney.com. about the conference or about anything else, be glad to hear from you. I was reading into the literature today, and there was a very pertinent article that came out in the British Medical Journal this month. The title is Heart Attack Rates Are Higher on Christmas Eve and New Year's Day. Everybody probably could guess that. You know, sometimes it's funny when you see little papers put out that are pretty obvious, but they looked at heart attacks between 1998 and 2013. There were 283,014 heart attacks, and they noticed that the heart attacks were 15% higher on Christmas Day, 7% higher on Christmas Eve, and 20% higher on New Year's Day. And, you know, you might ask why. This is a stressful time of year. It's the, you know, the song, it's the happiest time of the year, but it can also be the stressful time of the year, because now on top of your typical workday schedule, you're trying to get all this other stuff done, holiday decorating, parties, buying presents for people, taking time off, so getting extra work done so that you can take time off, finding flights, making flights, worrying about the weather, you know, those up north dealing with snow and other conditions that are treacherous this time of year. All of a sudden, nutrition goes out the window. You know, we'll just wait until the new year and pick up the pieces. So typically, you know, not only on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and all that week do people eat poorly, but, you know, from here on in, there's, you know, one chance, you know, there's a chance every day for people to get together and overeat. You know, a lot of us overate yesterday at the potluck, but we overate on cabbage, overate on healthy food, which, you know, it was not a big deal. There wasn't, you know, sugar and salt and oil there to constrict our vessels and drive our blood pressure up. It was just, you know, perhaps over calorie consumption. Some people may have had over fiber consumption, but, you know, it's all, that really is all good for the most part. That can be taken care of pretty easy. But, you know, when you're going to this holiday parties and people are bringing cheese trays and luncheon meat trays, you know, it's cancer on the plate. And we turn our back on it and we're stressed out. We're stressed out. We might over drink, maybe over caffeinate. It's a difficult time of the year emotionally for people. People start to think about, you know, years gone past. I know in our own family, we've had some dear friends pass away this year, as well as some relatives. And you reflect on all those that have gone, you know, the memories that you had with those people. It can become quite depressing. What are you going to do? You know, some people, you know, their families, it's not going to get together, and it becomes of how do you survive the holidays versus thrive through the holidays. And, you know, exercise routines go out the window. People stop, you know, going to the gym, or they're not doing what there should be at the gym, and it's more of a social activity. They're not getting their walk in. It becomes about maintenance over this time period. And, you know, I think that you have to focus on being healthy. And if you take this next 3 weeks off from being healthy, not only are you not going to gain ground, but you can really lose a lot of ground. Certainly nobody needs to, you know, gain 10 or 15 pounds over the holidays. I know some people we have that are really trying to watch their nutrition. It can be very tough because maybe they feel a little deprived over this, you know, this holiday season that they can't get into all the junk food that they are, but it's so protective for them. You know, when you have boundaries that you've set, I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to eat eggs. I'm not going to eat salty foods. I'm not going to eat cheese. I'm not going to eat fried foods. You know, declare it, and it's off the table. There's no reason to eat those things. And, you know, focus on the good things so that, you know, like I said, if it's like yesterday and you overate on cabbage or you overate on a tabbouleh salad, not that big a deal. That's not going to hurt you in the long run. Because the reality of it is when you eat high fiber food, you're going to stop. You know, you're not going to keep, you know, getting this terrible amount of calories in. If you look at, you know, the desserts that have oils and butter and sugar and the appetizers with the cream cheese and the melted cheese and all those kind of things. And all the eggs, you know, one egg extra a week can increase your risk of diabetes. Sometimes there's, you know, in homemade pastas, there's 7 or 8 or 9 eggs. In some of these specialty cakes, there are, you know, 7 or 8 eggs in. So there's a tremendous amount of bad things in these holiday foods, not just a little bit of ham. Not only is it salty, it's honey glazed. So we have this thing that's very high in saturated fat. Now you're going to put a lot of brown sugar on the outside and, you know, honey. So it's not better. It's just honey. So you've got simple sugars on top of saturated fat, on top of salt, on top of cured meat, that's a nightmare. You know, again, back to the cheese sauces, the avocado, you know, don't fool yourself. If there is that artichoke dip, it has cheese in it, unless you make it like I make it, which would just be artichokes and basil spun together. Then that's a great dip to have. But the one that's going to be on the table is going to be, you know, that somebody that's not plant-based is probably going to be the other kind. Even you have to watch people doing a lot of raw desserts. They have, you know, these raw, a lot of coconut oil in a lot of these vegan cheesecakes and vegan desserts. So it's not really healthy. You know, eating processed oil, no matter what it comes from, you can take vegetable oils and they can be turned into cholesterol. Vegetable oils can be turned into inflammatory compounds because we remember your omega-6s are going to go to arachidonic acid, which is very inflammatory. We want in, you know, we want the omega-3s, but we don't want the omega-6s. You know, ideas to make little, you can make little desserts with chia pudding, you know, and put fresh fruits on, you know, as little appetizers to have around or little desserts on your table. There's a lot of ways that you can make a healthy dessert to have on your Christmas table, but it doesn't have to be, you know, full eggs, sugar, salt, sugar, butter, and you know, what have you, all those bad things. So, you know, instead of it becoming a time to get really unhealthy, it can be a time to get much better. And then the activity goes, you know, you got to keep moving. So you got to have the day. You're probably going to brush your teeth every day from here till New Year's Day. So if you can brush your teeth despite it being a holiday, then you need to be able to get your exercise. Well, it takes longer to exercise than to brush your teeth, but you need to put the hour, you know, leave that hour. We've had a wellness challenge for steps this month. So we're all trying to beat our steps that we had in the fall. And, you know, look at your watch. If you're not getting your steps in, if you're a part of a step challenge, you got to do something by afternoon. So, you know, strap Fido up and take him back out for a walk. Get the jump rope out, do some jump rope, put the Christmas music or holiday music on and do a little dancing. But, you know, set yourself a step goal that you're going to get to and make sure you have it. Can't go to bed till you get it. It's amazing what you can do decorating a tree back and forth, in and out of the garage, up and down the ladder. You know, those are all good things as long as you keep moving and you get, you know, you put it, make a mark that's what you're going to get for your steps, and do another movements. If you have some, you know, again, to go through a stretching routine, to go through a simple weightlifting, even if you have to abbreviate your weight training over the holidays, then, you know, go through, you know, if you did four sets before, do two sets, do lighter weight, you know, just so you keep moving, just so you keep the muscle memory going, and just so you keep the habit over the holidays is really important. And, you know, and I'm going to stress the salt again, because it's so dangerous to people that don't have normal heart function. It's dangerous for us all because it can be directly toxic to our blood vessels. And ultimately cause, you know, stiffening of our blood vessels. But if your heart function is not normal, whether your heart function may not relax, your heart muscle may be stiff, or it doesn't squeeze all that it should, a little extra salt means fluid retention, means it's harder for your heart has to pump that extra volume around. It puts a stress on your blood vessels that feed the heart blood. It all feeds back. When your heart doesn't pump well forward, your kidneys say, hey, I'm not getting the blood flow that I should get. So that the next mechanism is that the kidneys constrict and they retain water, so you retain even more water. The older you get, the more sensitive you are to salt, the more you retain salt and water. The worse your kidney function is, the more you retain salt and water. So all these things build up as we get older, and you don't have room for error. And certainly over the holidays, there is so much air and so many bad things that can go wrong. And, you know, some people, you know, they just do it to spite. You know, it's almost like spitting into the wind sometimes that they're really going to celebrate and party hard over the holidays. And it's just really, really dangerous. And, you know, it was funny when I first went into medicine, I thought about being an obstetrician. And one of the things that, you know, I thought about, you know, as having a family and what, you know, what being a physician would be on my lifestyle. It's like babies are born in the middle of the night. I don't necessarily want to be up every night in the middle of the night. But, you know, it turns out people have heart attacks mainly in the middle of the night, in the early morning hours. And the reason for that is people go to bed, they may be dehydrated, they may have had too much alcohol to drink. There's a cortisol release. Your glucose goes up, your blood becomes thicker, you get vasoconstriction, and your blood starts to clot. These clotting mechanisms increase, so people end up having heart attacks in the wee hours of the morning. So, you know, beware that this is not a time of the year to let your guard down, but a time of the year to actually prepare and to keep doing the right things. Look for great things to make. Like, you know, I talked about the artichoke dip, you know, that you can make with basil instead of doing it with the cheese. You can do different desserts, different colorful plates with vegetables as opposed to, you know, this really bad stuff. And if you have to go somewhere, take what you need to eat with you if you're going to someone's house. I was seeing with people yesterday at the potluck, and you know, they kind of, it wasn't complaining, but, you know, it was such a hassle when they would go places that, you know, no one, even if they tried, people really didn't fix things that were safe for them to eat. So they would take their own, and initially they would take enough that they could share with other people. But sometimes, people say, oh, it's plant-based, and they didn't want to eat it. So they, and then there was nothing for them on the other end of the table either. So they just started making what they needed to eat when they went to a party, and it was fine. So, you know, feel free to just, you know, take what you need to survive a party with you, and that way you're going to be okay. It's interesting to see that more and more journal articles are starting to tie the risk factors for cardiovascular disease with other lifestyle diseases. There was a article reported in the Journal of Inflammatory Bowel Disease in November of 2018, linking ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease to increased risk of heart attacks. And they reviewed a database of 29 million people, and there were 132,000 cases of ulcerative colitis and 159,000 cases of Crohn's. And over a five-year observational period, there was a 25% increased risk of heart attacks in those with inflammatory bowel disease as opposed to those without inflammatory bowel disease. And again, it goes back to inflammation playing a critical role in the development of vascular disease. We know that, you know, people with Crohn's, they have involvement not only of their large intestine, but they can even have involvement of their small intestine, and ulcerative colitis is primarily involved just the large intestine, but it can be quite extensive. And the degree of inflammation, and the disruption of your gut microbes, leads to a highly inflammatory state. We also know that a lot of dietary factors make that worse. So people with high cholesterol, people with high fat intake, people with high dairy intake, specifically casein protein, you know, these are all things that can exacerbate inflammatory bowel disease. Same thing that can exacerbate cardiovascular disease. So this, you know, when your body's in a state of an increased inflammation, things start to go bad. And again, you know, it'll be nice when Dr. Goldhammer comes to the conference that, you know, if we can just let our body rest, it can heal itself. But if we keep putting in toxins, you know, dairy and high saturated fat foods and, you know, making our bodies very acidic with what we eat, with a high protein diet, we're putting ourselves at risk. These aren't things that just happen to people for no apparent reason. Inflammatory conditions, inflammatory bowel disease are the result of what we eat and what we're exposed to. And the good news is they can all be settled down, especially if caught early, before there's a tremendous amount of damage done. You know, once people have tremendous damage and disruption of their gut microbe, it can be very difficult to get that back. And it can take years to get, you know, to restore the gut microbes to where they need to be. But, you know, taking the insult away And, you know, even people that, you know, with Crohn's disease, you know, they have a large trouble absorbing nutrients. And you would think the last thing you would want somebody to do is fast. But the reality of it is when you take the food away from these people and let their gut rest, they get better. And then when you reintroduce foods that are a high nutrient quality but easy to absorb, you know, simple, well-cooked vegetables, you know, zucchini, carrots, and you know, simple grains and fruits and fruit juices, then these people can actually heal and then advance their diet. And the inflammation gradually goes away, and then they can tolerate, you know, more fermented foods to help that along as well. So, you know, if you have gut disease, you know, you're at risk for heart disease. If you have multiple sclerosis, you're at risk for heart disease. If you have heart disease, you're at risk for cancer. If you have diabetes, you're at risk for cancer and heart disease. They all go together because they're all nutrient related, all metabolic byproduct related. So, you know, just because one person has one thing, occasionally we'll have people come into the office and they'll say, well, I'm on this kind of diet or I'm on that kind of diet. No, you just need to be on a healthy plant-based diet. It takes care of everybody. Because when you're eating whole fruits and vegetables and whole grains, you know, everybody gets better and the inflammation in everybody's body goes down. So you don't need, you know, if somebody tells you they need to be on a specific diet, they don't. They need to be on a whole food plant-based diet. And, you know, you can be the lighthouse by showing them that eating these great colorful foods can be very, you know, very helpful. A lot of people say, I can't eat this or I can't eat that. You know, the nuts and seeds and things, you know, that's an old wives' tale. People with ulcerative colitis can eat nuts and seeds. It's never been shown to make things worse. It's not been shown to make diverticular disease worse. And actually, these things didn't cause the diverticulitis and diverticulosis, which is another bowel disease, but they didn't cause that. It's the lack of fiber in the diet. And lack of fiber feeds the microbes, and the microbes develop, and they help with your immunity and help with your inflammation. So, you know, when people say they can't eat vegetables and fruit because of some of these conditions, it's just not true. For the most part, if they're very ill, it may take a diet that works its way, you know, starts in the beginning and works its way up and gradually progresses. But, you know, if somebody can eat cheese and a steak, but can't eat broccoli, you know, that's just not true. So anyway, you know, it all goes together. A lot of times kids don't want to eat healthy, and they see athletes, you know, that are sponsored by the fast food chains, McDonald's or Burger King, and that's what they want to eat. And I am in the middle of listening to an interview with LeBron James by Tim Ferriss and his trainer. And without being prompted at all, what LeBron James eats right after a game is plant protein. He does a protein carbohydrate shake out of plants. And the reason why his trainer suggested that is because it is clean, easy to digest, nutrient-dense foods that can help him recover. And he's very specific in what he eats. And it's such a shame that these athletes who are really taking care of their bodies, that want a long career and want to stay healthy and want to perform on the highest level, are really watching what they eat. They're eating, they know that the plant foods are what providing them with the antioxidants and the phytonutrients needed for recovery. And yet what is they're sponsored by, or what they're promoting, is something entirely different. And I think this message needs to get out to kids more and more, that these athletes are very focused on what they eat. They're not eating junk food. They're not eating fast food. So the majority of them want the high level, the most elite, because the difference with, you know, from the regular professional athlete and the most elite professional athlete comes down to how they recover and how many hours they can exercise and how many, you know, how much downtime that they have that they're injured. And they can't afford that, because you can't be the elite of the elite if you have downtime. And nutrition plays a huge role in that. So if you have children that are rebelling against this plant-based diet, I suggest you look into and show them that, you know, what these athletes are eating, if it helps. And again, there's a movie coming out, The Game Changers. I guess it's probably going to be out more in January now. That looks at this very thing that, you know, elite athletes are really starting to focus on eating healthy. You know, people talk about eating clean, and there's so many different ways, you know, that word clean is like natural. It means almost nothing. But when you're talking about plant food, fruits and vegetables, whole grains, now you're talking clean, alkaline-forming, low inflammation, helping your body to heal. So focus on that. Now, over the holidays, and stress it with your kids, be a good example to your family. So don't fight your family for what they should be eating, but demonstrate to them what you're going to eat to be healthy, to have many Christmases. Because, you know, there's only so many Christmases, and you want to be healthy, and you want your family to be healthy. So you have to be the example. So I'll leave you with this, that to set your table to be the healthiest that you can be and set that example for your family. So check out my website, drdelaney.com, for, you know, information about the practice and to get your tickets for the conference at March 30th. It's drdelaney.com. Email me at Jamie, J-A-M-I, at drdelaney.com. Love to hear from you. Any questions that you might have, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. Have a good week.